Haskell, brother and sister, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 24th, 1903. Dear brother and sister Haskell, I expected to see you at the conference in Oakland, but I have not a word of reproof to give you for not coming, because the Lord knows what is best. All through the meeting, from the beginning to the end, I carried a very heavy load. Since returning home, I have been able to write some important matters to the brethren assembled in council in Battle Creek and to Dr. Kellogg. These letters and manuscripts I sent to Elder Jones to read to Dr. Kellogg and his fellow workers. There must be an altogether different showing in many lines. Matters must come into an altogether different shape. I believe that the Lord will work. I lie awake at night, praying that at this time the Lord will manifest His power in all our institutions. The Lord desires us, His little children, always to be learners in His school, meek, lowly, and obedient. Then He can say to us, "Ye shall find rest in an experience that daily brings you nearer heaven. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light." We are living amidst the perils of the last days. As God's children, we have been given a higher, nobler work than disparaging one another. To disparage others will surely place us where we shall be disparaged in the courts of heaven, because we know not the things that make for our peace. I entreat you not to be discouraged. Let people say what they will. If what they say is not in your favor, say, "I will not please the enemy by allowing these words to stir me up to retaliation or to depress me. The enemy's work shall be a failure as far as I am concerned. I will prove his words false. I will not be disturbed." Then the Lord will draw near to you and will give you a rich measure of love and peace and joy so decided, so divine, that even in the midst of the trial of your faith, you will be a witness to the truth of the word of promise. You have a sense of the divine presence. You know that the word of God is no cunningly devised fable. Your mind is moved by the Holy Spirit and enlightened by heavenly truth. The eyes of your understanding have been opened, and the truth that at times you have seen but dimly, you now see clearly. The quickening influence of the Holy Spirit is to you as precious as fine gold. You can tell the story of the cross with a deep appreciation of the Savior's love, for this love has melted and transformed your heart. You bear about with you in the daily life the sign that Christ is formed within, the hope of glory. But I must stop for the present. April 28th. For several days and nights, the Lord has been giving me special experiences. In the future, we are to pass through very strait places, and we shall understand the value of having some workers who have been through the giving of the first, second, and third angels' messages. The voices of these workers are to be heard in distinct utterance, saying, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." 1 John 1, verse 1-4. During the past night, many things were presented to me. While I was calling upon the Lord to reveal His grace and His miracle-working power among us as a people, I fell asleep, and I was in conversation with several of our ministering brethren. I addressed my remarks to W.C. White. I told him that we must begin to work in a way different from the way in which we had been working in regard to the precious light that God has given us in the testimonies of His Spirit. I said, "As a people, we do not show sufficient appreciation of this God-given instruction. We do not make the best use of the light given. The matter that has been brought before the people must be brought before them over and over again. The articles that are printed in our papers are soon forgotten by the readers. They must be brought together, reprinted in book form, and placed before believers and unbelievers. There will be those once united with us in the faith who will search for new, strange doctrines, for something odd and sensational to present to the people. They will bring in all conceivable fallacies and will present them as coming from Mrs. White, that they may beguile souls. The light that the Lord has given me should be in the hands of our people, that they may see that the reports made are false, that there is in the testimonies nothing of what these men declare to be in them.
The precious light that the Lord has given in reproof and warning is to be given to his people. Errors will be corrected by the messages given to the erring. The Spirit of the Lord will be in the message, and doubts existing in many minds will be swept away. The testimonies themselves will be the key that will explain the message given. Many will read with eagerness the messages reproving wrong, that they may learn what they must do to be saved. From all directions will come the cry, "What must I do to be saved?" Acts 16, verse 30. Light will dawn upon the understanding, and the Spirit of God will make an impression on minds, as Bible truth is clearly and simply presented in the messages that since 1846 God has been sending his people. These messages are to find their place in hearts, and then transformation will take place. The spiritual growth of many has been dwarfed. They have not brought forth in their lives the fruits of righteousness and peace and joy, but have been as the fruitless fig tree. If those who have received the light will appreciate and respect the testimonies of the Lord, they will see the religious life in a new light. They will be convicted. They will see the key that unlocks the mysteries that they have never understood. They will lay hold of the precious things that God has given them to profit withal, and will be translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. The messages that have come to them will be to them as a voice speaking from heaven. The light will shine forth line upon line, precept upon precept, as represented by Isaiah in the words, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little." Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. This morning, after I had talked with Willie, we received from Elder Daniels and Dr. Kellogg the following message: "Peace established, according to Ephesians 2, verse 14 to 22. I am so thankful to our Heavenly Father that the Holy Spirit has wrought to bring about unity and love. I must stop now. I cannot write more today, but at another time I will send you more upon the same subject upon which I have written in this letter.